I think catastrophic was the word you used last time to describe the COVID situation in El Paso, and it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, I'm running out of adjectives to use. To put it in context, on Wednesday, the United States for the first time reported that we had more than 100,000 new COVID cases in the United States. 3% of all of the new cases on that record-setting day were in one community, and that was El Paso. We had 3,100 cases reported on Wednesday. The numbers are staggering. The human toll is really indescribable. We're probably losing somewhere around 20 people every day now to COVID, maybe a little higher than that some days, maybe a little bit lower. And, you know, for context, in August 3rd, 2019, this community suffered a horrendous tragedy in a terrorist attack at the Walmart that killed 23 people. We're having the equivalent of that human loss repeatedly every day now.
And meanwhile, the county judge is fighting with not only the mayor, but the state of Texas about what to do about it.
We're talking on Thursday. The judge had, in the case, Bill Moody, had a hearing on Wednesday about this and said he'd rule either late Thursday or sometime Friday. So we'll see how that goes. The losing side almost certainly will appeal the ruling. So it's not going to be settled until next week at the earliest. But, you know, as I've said before, this is very much akin to a wildfire that's just spreading out of control. And there's two ways to fight a wildfire. One is to try to contain it and then extinguish it. The other is to just let it keep burning until it consumes all the available fuel. El Paso continues to essentially be using that second strategy, which isn't a strategy at all. These numbers are just incredible.
And despite that, still voters turned out in record numbers.
We had probably around 265,000 votes during early voting, and then on Tuesday, which was 17% higher than our previous record turnout here. So that was good. One of the things that continues to be a challenge for El Paso and other border communities is that as a percentage of our registered voters, our turnout is low compared to other communities. So El Paso will wind up with about 54%. Mm-hmm. of its registered voters casting ballots. That's a real challenge, I think, for Democratic Party leaders who aren't doing enough to reach out and engage border communities and other Hispanic communities, especially Mexican-American communities. And so as one of the results of that was that Vice President Biden's margin in El Paso was smaller than Hillary Clinton's was in 2016. Donald Trump improved his performance here by about 6 points. He still only got 32% of the vote, but it was an improvement over 2016.
And it looks like the mayoral race is headed to a runoff.
We have the Battle of Mayors. Former Mayor Oscar Leeser finished in first place, and the man who succeeded him, Dee Margo, was kind of a distant second. So they'll meet in a runoff on December 15th. Very tough to have an election that essentially falls between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so I would expect that runoff to be a very low turnout affair.
Let's move on to the El Paso Independent School District. It looks like the superintendent is out.
Yeah, Juan Cabrera was appointed the superintendent in 2013 as the district was trying to recover from a horrific cheating scandal. He's been superintendent since then, helped pass a big bond issue that is allowing the district to rebuild a lot of its schools, but also his tenure has really been marked by controversy, particularly around his relationships with former board president Dory Fennenbach. They were recently sued in California, alleging that they had defrauded investors to invest in their online school that Fennenbach had started. It's unclear really what Cabrera's role in all that has been, but according to the lawsuit, he was actively engaged in going on getting investors and allegedly told investors that he would resign as EPISD superintendent if they invested $5 million in Fennenbach's venture. And so that was kind of a bit much for the school board, and a majority of board members really wanted him out. And so they're finalizing a settlement of his tenure here, and they'll probably appoint an interim superintendent this week.
And will he get a nice, you know, resignation package to leave with?
That we're still waiting for those details. He does have a contract, right, that promises to pay him for I think it's two more years. So that's always a challenge with these superintendent contracts. And by the way, with benefits included, he's making about $500,000 a year.
All right, Bob, we'll wait and see what happens. Thank you very much for the update. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.